Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, March 10, 2024, Second Class, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 2 sounds like this. For the married woman, the wife, under the authority of her husband, is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, she is released by the law from the husband. Now, in verse 3, the first half of verse 3 is not a part of the analogy and illustration that Paul is using. So the first half of verse 3 is not a part of the illustration, but it does deal with the problem of adultery, fornication, and unfaithfulness, which was very prevalent and widely throughout Rome, in fact, throughout the Roman Empire. Now, as we look at the first half of verse 3, it's very important to realize that we sin. As believers in Jesus Christ, we all sin. We are all sinners saved by grace. All members of the royal family of God, even though they're believers in Jesus Christ, they still have a sin nature that's sends up temptation from the lust patterns, and the sin nature is not the source of personal sin. It's your volition. You have a guardian that protects your soul. That's your free will, your volition. All you have to do is say no. All you have to do is use the doctrine you've learned and metabolized in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All you have to do is operate by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. You will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So when you sin, commit personal sin, you do it. You're the culprit. You chose from your free will not to listen to God, the Holy Spirit, not to listen to metabolized doctrine in your heart. And from your own free will, you chose to sin, to say yes to the temptation and commit sin. Now, we all sin. All believers sin. All believers have an area of weakness in their sin nature. And it's different from believer to believer. Some believers' area of weakness produces mental attitude sins, such as arrogance, hatred, anger, jealousy. These are all mental attitude sins. Other believers' area of weakness produces sins of the tongue, such as judging and slandering, maligning, and gossip. Still other believers' area of weakness produces overt sins, such as adultery, fornication, unfaithfulness, murder, alcoholism, drug addiction, stealing. So the first half of Romans 7, verse 3, is not designed to point fingers or to play spiritual king of the mountain, that you are a far greater believer than so-and-so over there who commits adultery or fornication or unfaithfulness. That's not the purpose of this passage. And to help you keep thinking divine viewpoint, let's take a look at the things that the Lord hates. The things that the Lord hates, the things that are an abomination to the Lord, and that's presented in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. So turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, starting at verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. Now, haughty eyes, that's arrogance. That's a mental attitude sin of arrogance. A lying tongue. Here is the second category, sins of the tongue, lies, lying. And then third, overt sin, hands that shed innocent blood. That's murder, an overt sin. Then we have a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up strife among brothers. So a couple of things. One, the only overt sin that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him is the sin of murder. Proverbs 6, verse 17. So in this number of sins that the Lord hates and abomination, there's only one overt sin mentioned, and that is the sin of murder. There's no mention of alcohol, drunkenness, drugs, fornication, adultery, stealing. Two, of the seven things that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him, six of them are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And yet all these Fundy churches and Fundy preachers out there, they have their sermons that are the booze sermons and the fornication sermons and all these things. They never, ever, where are their sermons on mental attitude sins, arrogance, and sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning, gossiping? Those are the sins. Well, those sins bring triple compound divine discipline. Triple compound divine discipline. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. These are sins that the Lord hates and are abomination to him. So point two, of the seven things that the Lord hates and is an abomination to him, six of them are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And I'll tell you something, when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, when you grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Word of God, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you'll still sin from time to time, but you will stay away from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Those will just no more. 3. The mental attitude sins that the Lord hates and are an abomination to Him are arrogance. And arrogance really summarizes all mental attitude sins. That's the cosmic one. Interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic system was invented by Satan as the ruler of planet Earth to rule mankind. And made of cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. These are mental attitude sins. And so when you get out of fellowship with God and into Satan's cosmic system, why, arrogance characterizes your sins and your thinking, and hatred and antagonism toward God and toward the Word of God. So the mental attitude sins that the Lord hates and are an abomination to Him are arrogance, a heart. See, where's your heart? Not your pump. Up here, your heart. A heart that devises reversionistic schemes and strategies. Wicked. I mean, wicked's a fine word. We don't. The only wicked that many of you know is wicked ale. A heart that devises reversionistic schemes and strategies. And third, feet that are quick to rush into evil. And that isn't, not that you, mental attitude, you have any thinking in your feet, but this is going, what's going on in your thinking, in your soul. Rushing into evil. And then point four, the sins of the tongue that the Lord hates and are an abomination to Him are a lying tongue. The ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel. The Bible tells us he is a liar from the beginning. That is his nature. He is the father of all lies. He is been a liar from the very beginning. When you lie, you're imitating the ruler of planet Earth. You're imitating Satan. You're imitating the devil. You're not imitating Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is not lying. When you lie to others, and when you get into the cosmic system and in reversionism, it's easier for you to lie than to tell the truth. You're imitating Satan, you're not imitating Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is not lying. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Not lying. So the sins of the tongue that the Lord hates and are an abomination to Him are a lying tongue, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up strife and dissension among brothers. And what is that? That's gossip. That's maligning. That's slandering. That's judging. Point five. Now, in the first half of Romans 7:3, many believers in Rome are guilty of this bad decision of fornication and adultery. Now in the first half of Romans 7:3, many believers in Rome are guilty of this bad decision of fornication and adultery. In fact, point six, some of them are Paul's sheep. Paul's sheep living in Rome. Seven. They are living in the cosmic system. These sheep have wandered away from the spiritual life. They've wandered away from the spiritual life. Now the Lord Jesus Christ told us, what do you do when a sheep wanders away? Point 8, if a sheep wanders from the flock, you go out and get the lost sheep. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's function to, in grace, to go out and get the lost sheep. 9, the Apostle Paul is doing that through the faithful teaching of Bible doctrine, the Word of God. The Apostle Paul is doing that through the faithful teaching of the Word of God. Ten, Paul has taught over and over again that we have a royal priesthood. We represent ourselves before God. And there is, in that royal priesthood, the privacy of your royal priesthood. You represent yourself before God. And privacy is extremely important for objectivity. And the Apostle Paul is protecting the privacy of the priesthood. So, Romans 7 verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, this is the particle ara, followed by a second particle un, with the conditional particle aeon, and then the genitive singular of aner and the present active participle of zao. So we have araun, intensified. A-R-A, that's ara. O-U-N, that's un. Araun. Two inferential particles, but they're put back to back. And whenever they're put back to back, this strengthens the principle. And you correctly translate it. So then, araun is Paul's way of introducing the divine viewpoint on a problem among some of the believers in Rome. Adultery and fornication and unfaithfulness. The conditional particle aeon introduces the third class condition and is translated if. And then our verb zao once again. Z-A long O, zao. And zao is the verb to live. The present tense is the durative present. The action is presented as actually being in progress in present time at the time of speaking. The active voice, this woman's husband is alive. He's not dead, and they are not divorced. So this woman's husband's still alive. He's not dead. And they are not divorced. The participle is circumstantial temporal. And you translate the temporal participle while her husband is living. And on air is used once again, the Greek word for husband. While her husband is living. So then, corrected translation. So then, if while her husband is living, if while her husband is living, she be married to another man. Absolutely. I looked at this and I was expecting to see the verb to marry. But there is no verb to marry. This is the verb ginomai. Ginomai never means to marry. Terrible translation. She is not married to another. She's fornicating with another. There's a lot of difference between being married to another and fornicating with another. This is the aorist middle subjunctive of ginomai plus the dative singular of aner plus the dative singular of heteros. But we have the verb ginomai. Now, we've had this verb many times, and most of the time we've had it, it means to come to be or to become. We've seen it that translated that way many, many times, but it has a very special meaning as well. Point two, figuratively, it can mean to belong to another man. And therefore, point three, it's a verb for fornication, adultery, unfaithfulness. Four, it does not imply marriage to another man, but it does imply fornication, adultery, unfaithfulness with another man. And then we have heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, heteros. Heteros means another of a different kind. This is another man, other than her husband. And then on air, man, he is a heteros on air. He's another man. He is other than her husband. So that's heteros on air. He is other than her husband, another man. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Future active indicative of krematizo plus the predicate nominative of moikalos. Krematizo. Looks like that in the Greek, C-H-R. Long E, M, A, T, I, Z, long O, krematizo. Krematizo is used of God imparting an injunction. God imparting an injunction or a warning. He's imparting an injunction or a warning. And the warning here is that you now bear a name. You are classified as a moikalos. You don't want to be classified as a moikalos. M-O-I-C-H-A-L-I-S. Moikalos. And a moikalos is the Greek word for adulteress. So the corrected translation. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be classified as an adulteress. She shall be named an adulteress. Now, in the rest of verse 3, we get back to the illustration, the spiritual analogy to the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. But if her husband be dead, this is the conjunction de plus the conditional particle aeon plus the nominative singular of on air with the definite article plus the aorist active subjunctive of aposnesko. The postpositive conjunction de again is a conjunction of contrast. translate it, but it sets up a contrast between the husband is living with the husband is dead. Sets up a contrast between the husband living and the husband having died. It sets up a contrast between the problem of adultery with some believers in Rome with the illustration and analogy of the baptism of the Spirit at salvation. And then apothenesco. A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O, apothenesco. One, apothenesco means to die. Two, literally it is used for physical death. Three, in the analogy that Paul is using in our verse, it's used figuratively for retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. In our verse, through analogy, his illustration of Romans 6, it's used figuratively for retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. Four, this is accomplished by God the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit at salvation, faith in Christ. This is accomplished by God the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit at salvation through faith in Christ. Five, this death is actually, in analogy, legitimate divorce. Because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very alive and living in the body. Still living in the body of the believer. So this death is actually legitimate divorce because the first husband, the sin nature, is still very alive and living in the body. So corrected translation. So then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be named or classified as an adulteress. But if her husband has died, she is free from that law. And this is the present active indicative of Amy plus the nominative singular feminine of the adjective Eleutheros, plus the prepositional phrase apa, once again with the genitive singular of namas and the definite article. We have the to be verb eimi, E-I-M-I. She is. She is what? She is Eleutheros. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O-S. Eleutheros. She is, and Arndt and Gingrich, page 250, says Eleutheros is used both as an adjective, but also as a substantive, a noun. As an adjective, Eleutheros means free. As a substantive, as a noun, Eleutheros means freedom, independent. So, one, this describes the result of death or divorce from the first husband, the sin nature, through retroactive positional truth. This describes the result of death or divorce from the first husband, the sin nature, through retroactive positional truth. Two, after salvation, faith in Christ, the believer has freedom from the first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. After salvation, faith in Christ, the believer has freedom from the first husband, the sin nature, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. Three, after salvation, the believer also has freedom from the first marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law. After salvation, the believer also has freedom from the first marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law. The preposition apa is a preposition of separation. It is separation from someone or something. Separation from the law, the Mosaic Law, and the marriage counselor of the first marriage. Four, after salvation and to the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer has freedom. Separation from the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. After salvation in marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer has freedom. Separation from the Mosaic Law as the marriage counselor of the first marriage. Five. Now, after salvation, a new marriage counselor comes along to replace the Mosaic Law. And that new marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. Now, after salvation, a new marriage counselor comes along to replace the Mosaic Law. And that new marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. So far, our verse says, so then, if while her husband is living, she fornicates with another man, she shall be named or classified as an adulteress. But if her husband has died, she is free from the law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage, so that she is not an adulteress. That's the, as we go on with the verse, but we've run out of time, and we're going to pick it up at this point next week with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank you once again for your infinite and your matchless grace. We ask and pray that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.